I'm very pleased today to speak with Mr. Saad Azhari, a prominent figure in the Lebanese banking industry and chairman of Blom Bank, which is one of the largest banks in the country and in the region. And he has led the bank in a profound way, especially in the last few years, given all that's happening in this region, to strengthen its balance sheet and give it direction going forward. And I'm very, very happy to be able to speak with you today. And I'd like to capture from you, Mr. Saad, a sense of running a business in this region today and strengthening the balance sheet of your business and creating a stable environment for your future growth. And also, I'm very interested to, you know, get your sense of how Lebanese banking industry has evolved, given the fact that Lebanon was the original Switzerland of this region and where it is today. So thank you very much for speaking with me today. As the scion of the Azhari family, give us a sense of your own journey in banking. Did you always know that you were coming back to lead the family bank? And if you were, what was it in the 1990s and what is it today, the institution?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming here. And I'm very pleased to welcome you here. So maybe I will start with the end. I mean, as a family, my father always used to say that he doesn't want any of his children to follow him in banking. So, and it's not a family bank. My father came to a bank that was established by four families. And he came in, it was the smallest bank in Lebanon, and then became the largest bank. But on the basis that he will diversify the shareholders, and he had like a stock bonus, maybe the beginning of the stock bonus, you know, and he had, yes, and he had shares, and effectively today we are the biggest shareholder, but we don't control the bank. We have around 10-11% of the bank, so we are the biggest shareholder, but effectively if we don't do a good job, the shareholders can remove us, so it's not a family business. Myself, I was always very close to my father. I was interested in what he's doing. But when I graduated from school and I had good grades, like all the good students, I went engineering. You know, good students either went medicine or engineering. So I went electrical engineering, yes. and I studied electrical and communication, and I did a master's in engineering. And then I did my MBA. And effectively, I started my career with a Swiss bank that was part of the UBS group. It used to be a separate, called PBZ Privat Bank und Verwaltung Gesellschaft in 1986, and then it was acquired by UBS.
This is in Zurich?
In Zurich.
Okay.
And I came as a, because I had a good background of computer engineering and MBA, I came as a project manager of Sofix, the first computerized exchange in Switzerland. So I came for the bank as a project manager of this project, and I stayed 5 years, and I started, I worked on this project at the same time. Due to my origin and my links, I was starting to look at customers in the region, and I became gradually the head of the Middle East for and the Hong Kong office for that bank. So gradually, you know, and then at a certain time, my father had health issues, and the other shareholders were saying, "You have successful children outside, you know, working in other places. Why don't you bring them? We trust the family. Why don't you bring them and also to the institute?" And effectively, that's what happened. So really, we're not aiming, but we moved to the bank.
In those days, just give me a flavor of the institution. Were your customers high net worth individuals? Was that the nature of banking in Lebanon? Was there any similarity within the private banks that you were working with in Switzerland?
Well, Lebanon, let's say, you know, passed between 1976, 75, and 1990, it was a civil war. And the banks stayed very traditional, taking deposits, giving loans, very conservative banks, very liquid banks. So it was completely different. When I started working in Switzerland in 86, I worked mostly private banking. So I was on the side of private banking, and it was completely different than the commercial bank, Blom commercial banking activity in Lebanon and elsewhere. So this is, and effectively myself, when I moved from the PBZ Privat Bank, the UBS Group, to Blom, Switzerland. I moved first to Blom, Switzerland. I moved the bank there from being a commercial bank in Geneva to become a private bank in Geneva, because at that time the most of activity was dealing with Lebanese and Arab customers for their business in Switzerland, LC
right.
business and lending.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, you know, that was not, the, I mean, the aim of having a Swiss license is to work as a private banking. And the private banking activity was very limited. So I moved the bank there and I was very successful. You know, I every year I was doubling the profits, you know, when I was as working for the bank in Switzerland.
Right.
So I moved the bank there more to private banking, and also I strengthened the private banking activity, you know, in Lebanon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I joined there, I started taking night lessons in terms of commercial banking, you know, because I knew that at the end, the bank, the main business was commercial banking. So, and I stayed for a long while working as private banking. So, but today, I would say the bank is much more, it's a full-service bank. It moved from being a commercial bank, more trade finance, to a full-service bank. Its strengths is in retail banking, also in private banking. So really asset management. So it's, I mean, we are strong in different types of activities. So it's a more now a general bank than just a commercial bank.
Right. Although it's a general bank, and I can see from the profile that you are in all of the range of commercial banking activity, at the end of the day, a bank's core business is, you know, a certain aspect of it. Is it retail? Is it small business? Is it more wealth management? Which are your anchor businesses today?
Let's say that we are a leader, a clear leader, in Lebanon in retail lending, in car loans, housing loans, credit card. So we are definitely a leader. And we have a very good, very strong in this area. And also when we are moving to other countries in the region, we are also taking the leadership role. For example, we opened in Jordan. Within a couple of years, we became the leader in retail lending, in car loans. So really, we have good system in retail, and the retail is growing, was growing at a faster pace, and now, effectively, we are more balanced between commercial and retail. We are very strong also commercial. Also, before we used to be only large customers, we did also an SME department, and now we are very strong in the SME. So also in lending, we are well diversified now between commercial, SME, and retail. Private banking, we are a leader in Lebanon also, in private banking. But private banking activity is much smaller than the commercial banking in Lebanon.
You know, you're an engineer by training, and which means that you understand process, you understand cost to income. And I'm actually amazed that your cost to income is in the 30s range, and you're running a full function commercial bank in a country that's not very large. How do you manage your cost? Is it a lot more to do with the net interest margin aspect, or is it operational?
Both. I mean, it's, you know, I think, you know, to manage a bank properly, you have to be looking at day to day and the operations, at the same time looking at the vision in the future. So really, I believe you have to be hands on and to control the cost. Very important to control the cost and control the risks, because at the end, if you don't control the risk, you'll have NPLs and then you have to have provisions. So I think it's very important. And we have been very careful, because at the end, we have to perform. If we don't perform, we cannot continue. So we are, even though we are considered to be the safest bank, having the best ratios in terms of liquidity, and, you know, we are also, we have the best returns in terms of equity. And so really we have been efficient. And the reason, like you said, our cost to income is very low, and much lower than the competition. Most of them are close to 50, and we are below 40. So we have managed, we have extremely managed well. We have grown also mostly organically. We did not acquire any bank in Lebanon. Maybe now we are in the process of acquiring a bank. Maybe we can talk about it. But in general, we were very careful not to acquire a bank just to grow. You know, we are looking always in terms of the best interest of our shareholders. So I think we have done a good job in terms of controlling the cost.
So, you know, in some ways, you're still not answering the question, because a bank like yours has many moving parts, you know, and again, in controlling the cost, you have less than 1 million customers, about 900.
Well, I guess we have about less than, around 500,000.
500,000. In any other country, that would be subscale because anything that you buy
in Asia,
well, you know, in China, for example, 490 million customers. Okay,
yeah.
But the best U.S. institutions, for example, had about 60 million customers, right?
Yeah.
So anything that you invest in technology process, you start by being subscale. And that's looking at you from outside, looking in. How do you deal with scale as a factor in your business?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to look at Lebanon and the region. You know, in Lebanon, the population is small. So when we have less than 500,000 out of 4 million population, so we have a good, I mean, proportion
percentage,
of, yes. And I have to say we have extremely qualified staff. Really, we
skill
have
skill sets are
yes,
good.
Yes,
okay.
Excellent. I mean, we have excellent university, excellent staff, and not only I think you know not on the Lebanese standard only, because we are taking those staff, I mean, and we are using them a lot of times when we go abroad, and in the Gulf, in other countries, in Egypt, in Jordan, few of them can turn around a situation in different countries. So really, we have good process, good staff, and really today, for example, until today. All the systems, and sometimes we have, you know, we create products that are the first in the world, are all created by our own people, our own IT people. So really, we have very qualified staff and excellent management. And this differentiates us a lot sometimes with the other regional banks. You go, for example, to some of the Saudi, UAE banks, huge, big balance sheets, but you don't see depth in management. You don't see... I mean, they don't have the quality of the staff. So when they go abroad, they are not as successful. They go to Jordan, Egypt, they are not as successful because they don't have the ability and the staff to really, the, you know, they are good in terms of having balance sheet. They can take big loans, but they are not strong in retail. They are not strong in private banking. I mean, they are weak in different areas.
So when you try to balance the requirement of the bank on the transaction banking, corporate banking side, and the retail side, are you the person who drives both sides, or do you trust that on to people that help to drive it forward, especially in retail? Because today, retail has a lot to do with innovation and,
yeah.
and you know, and customer centricity and stuff like that. Are you the man driving that?
I mean, I'm not the only person. We have a very strong management team. So definitely, I delegate. I mean, effectively, today, I have four general managers, and each general manager has specific strength. So I have a general manager who is responsible for retail and strategy. I have another general manager who is looking at the operations. I have another general manager who is very strong in terms of compliance, audit, and risk. So really, I'm not running the whole bank and I'm heading all the departments, I mean, or looking, supervising all the departments directly. At the end, you know, I have a daily meeting with all the general managers and we discuss and we are super, definitely, I am aware of everything, but I am definitely, I have different people who have different strengths.
So how do you think you're perceived by your employees? When you think about how you look like from your employees looking back at you, do they see a great coordinator? Do they see a great organic builder? Do they see a visionary? What do you think they see?
You have to ask the employees. Ask me.
But what do you think? What is the feel?
You know, we are hands-on. Let me put it this way.
What
I can hear from customers and employees that when they, you know, all the time, that a lot of times you have a chairman, CEO is a bit far away. I mean, my door is always open. Whenever somebody wants to see me, customer or employee, I'm always available. You know, I come early to the bank, you know, before 7:30 I'm here, I stay late. And I always believe that we have to, you know, have, so, you know, I don't, anybody who would like, so, I, you know, the interaction with the people, you know, at the bank is very strong. And also with the people dealing with the bank. So just today, I had somebody coming in this morning, an important customer. He told me that he has been 3 months trying to see the CEO of a smaller bank. He's not able to see. Whenever he calls me, I can set him an appointment within today or tomorrow. So, you know, that we have we are much more, I mean, I believe hands-on and easy access. You know, so this is something that I believe maybe people they feel that they can have an easy access to the top of the institution.
In the years that you've been chairman and before that the chief executive, what are some of the difficult decisions that you've had to make? And one of the reasons you've caught our attention is really because of the way in which you have engineered the bank's exposure to the current Syrian crisis. How did you handle that crisis? What was involved and where are you taking it?
Well, I have to say we had a, if I can put it this way, an excellent record now what happened in Syria. When the situation started in Syria in 2011, we had a loan portfolio there of $675 million. Today, effectively, if you look at the provisions we have taken, we are below zero. I mean, we have $22 million of loans, and we have provisions more than that. So really, and we were one of the largest private banks having, because other state-owned banks have a much bigger balance sheet, because the banking system, the privately-owned banks started in Syria in 2005. So we had one of the largest portfolios, and now we have the smallest. Because we had good customers, effectively, we had very, very few problems. And even with the war, they were able to repay the loans. And until today, we are operationally profitable in Syria. So we have an excellent record, and we are continuing there, even though now much smaller scale, much smaller activity. But we believe that when things stabilize, we can grow. I mean, we are thinking long term. We'll grow again in Syria. So the choosing the proper customers, I mean, and really. And avoiding also, I would say always, wherever we go, we avoid being involved in politics or relationship with top people. We are really professional bankers. In Lebanon and elsewhere, we are only bankers and professional bankers. And this segregation, not only for the top management, we force it on all the staff, really that we are only bankers, we don't have any other business, we are not in politics, we are not in real estate, we are not in industry, we are not in commerce. And so that people can trust to deal with us. A lot of people, they are bankers, but bankers plus politics, commerce. So really, it's like part of their conglomerate. And here we don't. I mean, since the inception of the bank, we always said we have to
keep
ourselves. And this, people know us that we are a professional bank.
Now, having said that, in a way that I assess a well-run retail bank, in terms of your branding, a lot of that has to do with your deposit market share. And Lebanon is an amazing country where, when you talk about market share, it's as fragmented as the kind of people that there are in the country. How are you building that? How important is market share to you? And what do you need to overcome to build market share, especially your deposit market share?
Well, I mean, in Lebanon, if you look at Lebanon, we are number one in deposits in Lebanon. So our market share, we are number one. I mean, we have a leadership position looking at Lebanon alone. And we have, the people trust us because they believe that the bank has an excellent record, safe bank, ratios are the best ratios. And that's why, even though we are not, we don't pay the most on the deposits, but they feel comfortable and they feel safe having a deposit with us. Plus, we have very good service. It's very important at the end, you can pay a bit less than the others, but when they are comfortable and you have a good service and, and you have a good spread, you have a good branch network, and you have also, I mean, good communication, IT, they can communicate through, all the types of channels. So people are comfortable in dealing with us.
Is that all there is? In that the reasons that you've just stated are similar to a bank in the U.S., in Europe,
I think
and
so.
All banks have this thing. But in Lebanon, a lot of the social structure is primordial. It's people are very conscious of their social groups and stuff like that. You seem to have transcended that. Is that because of time, or is it because of is it something that you've achieved over time rather than?
Let's put it this way. In terms of shareholding, in terms of general management, in terms of staff, we are representing all the communities in Lebanon. So you have some banks that are maybe concentrating on ownership and general management in some, you know, in our case, we have always had the idea that we have to be, I mean, we are open and our shareholding is open, and we have people on the board from all sects, from all regions, from so really we are very widely held, and the management is diversified, and the staff is diversified. This gives us definitely strength, that we are not perceived to be, you know, a bank to be in strong only in this area, or we are strong from the, we are the strongest bank from the south to the north. So it's not like
a... Is that a lot to do with the personality of your father? Is it something that he
created over time? He always, he originally, when he entered the bank as a CEO, he put a condition that he want to open the shareholding, that we need to open the shareholding and we need to have a diversified board and diversified shareholders. So that was an aim. If you want to be successful, you have to be able to be present all over the country and to have a well-diversified bank.
At the same time, your asset liability ratio is still, you know, a little bit over leveraged in some ways. How are you dealing with that? Do you have capital requirements that you think you need to meet in order to grow further?
Currently, today, our capital adequacy is 18%. It is the highest among other banks, listed banks in Lebanon. So we are very comfortable in terms of equity level. So here also is surprising to have the highest capital adequacy and to have the highest return on equity. So we don't have a problem in terms of, I mean, we don't need to raise equity because we are generating a very good, because of high return on equity, internally generated profit that we are able to distribute to customers, and every year we are increasing the distribution at the same time to shareholders. At the same time, this profit that we retain is enough to grow our balance sheet. So we are very comfortable in terms of equity, and we don't have any capital constraints.
And that on the background of a Lebanon which has had enough period of peace in order to see some growth in the economy, although, you know, it's right now in a very difficult position. Is there a temptation, are there temptations that you have resisted, decisions that you've made, businesses that you didn't take on because you want to keep your franchise sustainable in growing the business? I ask this also because all of the key Lebanese banks have a very wide international network, and there's a temptation to grow in countries like Turkey or the UAE or Egypt, and to grow the footprint and the and also to diversify the profit centers. What are you doing on that front, and are there decisions that you will not make because of your focus?
Yes. But first of all, our name, Bank of Lebanon Mahjar, effectively, if you take it in English, it's Bank of Lebanon and Overseas. And in France, it used to be called Banque du Liban et d'Outre-mer. So our original idea is to be present in Lebanon and abroad. So we like to have presence abroad. Believe there is a big Lebanese diaspora. There are 3-4 million Lebanese here, and there are more than 15 million Lebanese living abroad. So the idea always to have a presence abroad. And we have the biggest, you know, presence abroad in terms of distribution, where we are in a number of countries that we are present in. But our decision to go to countries, really, when we see that there is an added value, there is an added value for us, either servicing our customer base or that we can be a strong local bank. So in Europe, we are present really to service the Lebanese and Arabs that go to Europe, in Paris, London, Geneva. In Egypt, Jordan, Syria, in the Gulf, we are present because we believe we can be a strong local bank there, and we want to be a full-service local bank there. In other countries, some other countries, we did not go because we didn't see any added value. You mentioned, for example, Turkey. Maybe I was the first person to study the market in Turkey, and I decided we are not going to go to Turkey. Because when I went to Turkey, I saw the big banks having 1,300 branches, you know, huge,
you
having strong IT, having a low cost of deposit because they have such a high such a big network. So if I'm going there, first of all, there is a high volatility there in the market over there. Plus, you need a huge equity. For a bank based in Lebanon, it's a high risk. And our logo is peace of mind. You know, so I cannot find peace of mind putting a big equity in a volatile market, and I don't have any competitive advantage because they are. It's not like Egypt or Jordan or the Gulf. I mean, banks there are very competitive, advanced IT, good, excellent marketing. So I didn't go, even though it would have given me size, but it would have affected the shareholders. And effectively, the ones who went there, you know, we had similar earning per share over a year of 7-8 years. We had double now the earning per share for us because, I mean, the decision was it gave them size in terms of balance sheet, but affected the return on for the shareholder.
So for a man who's never built his business on inorganic growth, what is so attractive about HSBC's branch network in Lebanon?
Well, I have to make a small adjustment to this statement. Effectively, we bought a bank in Egypt. We never bought a bank in Lebanon, but we could not open in Egypt. There are no new licenses. We bought a small bank in Egypt. So it was
a license and then...
Yes, so effectively, we bought a bank in Egypt. So it's a very small bank, that a losing bank that became now a profitable bank and a growing bank. HSBC in Lebanon, maybe it would be the first, I mean, most probably, I mean, now it's open. We are in negotiation with them, and effectively now, we are the only bank negotiating with them, and most probably in the next few months we will close the deal, waiting all the approvals. So really, the idea is that HSBC was special in Lebanon because the activity of the bank is not like other banks in Lebanon. It's, other banks in Lebanon are mostly dealing with lending to the government, and HSBC is mostly doing trade finance activity and retail banking. So, and it's a number of employees are limited. The activity that they are doing, the real banking activity, is 5 times their size compared to other banks in Lebanon. So it was an interesting opportunity. So that's why maybe it was the only case that we pursued, and I think now, soon, hopefully, we will finalize.
So with a limited number of staff and a franchise that you can control, you think that the integration part will be achievable? You don't think... You've actually walked into the HSBC office and looked at the people and said, yes, we can integrate them.
Yes, I mean, like you said, limited. I mean, we hire every year more than 200 employees, and their size is 200 employees. So it's not a big size. Well-trained employees, have a good reputation. And as I said, I mean, they are doing a lot of activity. Their trade finance activity in Lebanon is almost the same size as ours, even though we have a portfolio which is 10 times the size of their portfolio. So they are very active with their portfolio.
So did you chase them or did they chase you? I mean, was it something that you always thought?
They were on the market, and there were 14 banks at the beginning who were interested, and we gave our credentials and what our vision, and then they narrowed it. They kept 4 banks, and finally they decided that maybe the best...
Is this something that you want to achieve?
Yes, I mean, they saw that maybe... We believe that we can, it will be an added value. And also we have, I mean, a lot of banks have put conditions that they don't want the staff or limit. We want all the staff. We want the full staff to stay. I mean, we are taking the bank because we believe they have good staff and they have good business. So I think they felt that it's easier, with the corporate culture of Blum and what we are thinking that we can use their staff, So we believe that this merger is going to be, I mean, not that we are going to diminish the number of staff here or there. It's the opposite. We believe we can grow the business, and that we can take even their help in some areas and grow our business. So I think, I think it will be a successful, So having said that, a lot of times, merger and acquisition is done, unfortunately, I see it all the time happening, for the size. We are not doing that for the size. I mean, they are small size. And when the thing is, when people are buying a bank for prestige or for the size, I think it's a wrong, long-term decision. And unfortunately, I see it all the time happening, that mergers are being done either because they want to become the bigger in the region or they want to be the bigger in this country. Or this is not the right approach.
So you feel that you can absorb this merger? Final question. The global banks have been retreating from a lot of different markets, especially in the area of payments, transactions, and so on. How's that affected you, especially given that you have so many branches outside of the country? So transaction banking would be an important part of your capability. And How are you dealing with that? And has the U.S. sanctions and stuff like that affected your business in any way?
Well, let's put it first of all, in terms of sanctions, Lebanon, we are a very much a dollarized economy. And we have our excellent relationship with our U.S. correspondent banks. So we have always been very careful.
Bank of New York is a shareholder.
And Bank of New York, they issued GDR. So they are a shareholder and they issued, issued GDR as a trustee. Yes. So effectively, there are other shareholders, but they represent, So we have an excellent relationship, not only Blum, I'm speaking about the banking sector, with U.S. banks, because most of our balance sheet is in dollars. Most of our transactions are in dollars. And we are very careful to make sure that they are comfortable in dealing with us. So we have always known what are the regulations, U.S. regulations, and made sure that we are applying those regulations when we are dealing with the U.S. banks. So we have, so we apply all their sanctions, all their rules, and they are comfortable in dealing with us. And a lot of times people ask us, how come Lebanon, with all the problems around, with Iran, with Syria, and you have such a good relationship, while other countries,
yes,
because we are very careful, and we are very careful and cautious to make sure that they are comfortable in dealing with us. So we don't have a problem in that sense.
And final question really will be this, that there was a time when Beirut was the Switzerland of the region, and today cities like Dubai and Qatar are competing to, take that away. What do you see happening in Lebanon as a financial center, and do you think it will recapture that role, or it never lost that role because there is a very strong trust in the Lebanese banking system today? And how do you think it will play out for a bank like Blum Bank? What do you see? Will either take you on to your next level or make you an attractive acquisition target yourself, in the near future?
I mean, to be frank, the biggest problem we have is the situation in Lebanon. So we are living in a country which is considered to be high risk. We are surrounded by instability. We have financial problems also in Lebanon. The government has a big debt and big deficit. And we have a low rating. So really, we cannot...
It's still investment grade, isn't it?
No. We are B minus.
B minus, yes. Sorry. Yeah.
So we are. So really, it's difficult in this environment, to become, to be a major financial center in the region or worldwide. So, to be frank. So we have excellent staff. We have excellent Lebanese bankers, maybe who are leading a lot of banks worldwide, in the Gulf and in the U.S. and in London. You find maybe more Lebanese bankers in London than in Lebanon.
Yep.
So, and working in all areas in banking. So, but frankly, Lebanon, we are really, we have a problem with the government ceiling in terms of rating and the situation in the country. The growth in Lebanon also last few years after the Syrian crisis became at a very low level, below 2% growth. So, the only really our hope is that in the medium term, that there will be more stability in Lebanon, improve political and situation, and that Lebanon can improve its rating, and we can really we can definitely build on that and become again much more important role in the region.
Thank you very much for speaking to me today, Mr. Saad. I find that the biggest asset in Lebanon is its people, and in this conversation I've tried to draw from you the essence of how you provide that leadership. I see a sense of strength, I see a sense of process, and the fact that you've been able to keep your franchise in a very difficult environment is an amazing achievement. Thank you very much for speaking
to me today. Thank you. Thank you for coming.